now.
It's back to Refilwe and Pakanyane
on 702.
At 9 minutes past nine, let's say good morning to our resident clinical psychologist, Kosi Jane, as we talk healing childhood trauma as an adult. Good morning, Kosi. You never... You don't take it easy on us on a Sunday morning, hey? Let's delve into...
Let's show up
and delve into these meaty and weighty subjects. Let's talk about trauma and... the reason why we need to deal with it in our adulthood, as opposed to just, you know, shying away from it and keeping it in our various compartments, emotional and mental. Why is it necessary to confront trauma?
Firstly, what is trauma? That we don't take that for granted as well. So trauma is any experience which causes us distress. Mm-hmm. And we can only talk about trauma as relative and on a spectrum or continuum. And what that means is that its impact will be very person-specific, even though it may be experienced collectively.
Okay.
What it means becomes very individuated because it meets each one of us in our own uniqueness, with our own whatever it is that constitutes us and our world. So therefore, even though we may be subject to the same thing, it will mean different things have a different impact on us. But essentially, it is any experience that causes us significant distress.
Okay. So you pointed out something very, very important. And I was talking to a colleague who had experienced a death in the family. And she was saying, you know, the family, the various family members, those who have survived, everyone's coming along nicely. You know, they're dealing with their experience, they're starting to cope better. But it's been years now. And she was marveling at the fact that, as you say, the same thing happened to all of them. But they have been all processing it very differently in very, very specific ways.
Absolutely.
So despite the fact that we might have been one family, Kosi, and as you say, we all experience the same thing. What is it? Why does trauma sort of or the traumatic events, why do they hook certain things in others and not the same things in another individual?
Sure. It is the core essence of the word individual, that individuated the self. It is that in a universe of humanity, you are you and no one else. And there are many things that we have in common with each other. That's why we are all part of the human community. But there are things that are very specific to us. We all have our own imprint in the universe of who we are, and we are no duplicates of anybody else. And therefore, it is those uniquenesses that speak to how those experiences will touch us, the meaning we will make out of them, and therefore how we will process that and how we will live on with and in spite of that experience. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you've defined trauma for us, Kosi, and I asked you this question, why it's important to actually deal with it versus compartmentalizing or, you know, sweeping it under the rug. What is happening when trauma is not dealt with, whether it's in the mind, whether it's in the body? What's happening on those levels?
Yeah. So the thing we say about trauma is that it is that the music continues long after the song has ended. So the fact that the actual incident, that distressful incident, and, you know, we do have distressful incidents, and what actually is the essence of trauma is that our world is never the same since that incident, right? So it really goes to the fundamentals of things. And it is that even though the actual incident, the traumatic incident has stopped, it continues to reverberate insidiously in the human system. And so one of the most wonderful books on trauma actually, the title itself says, answers the question, the body keeps the score.
Yes.
Because we take it in. It is never just a thing that, you know, goes through us. And some aspects of it may go through us. But however, we also, as human beings, consist of dynamics that I will use the analogy of a chamois.
Okay.
And a sponge,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that if you dip a chamois in water, it takes all of that, it holds that.
Okay.
And if you dip a sponge, the water will go through, it will hold on to some, but the water will go through. You will be able to see it, whereas it's not the same. So we are both those dynamics as human beings. Sometimes more so in earlier life as children, which is where, you know, we contextualize this conversation, is that as children, we are more of a chamois than we are a sponge.
Sure.
In that we hold on more to experiences, because it is at that time that the self is being written into by the experiences that we have in life, mm-hmm. and how others, significant others, feature in those to tell us about ourselves, to tell us about ourselves in relation to ourselves, in relation to those people and the world at large.
So the work, Kosi, of working through trauma, what might that look like? Obviously, there's talk therapy and the kind of thing that we are doing right now. But what are the various tools available? Because, you know, as we always say in our conversations, the unfortunate bit about all of this is you can't just press a button and reset or go back to factory settings, right, where you're just this unblemished individual.
Sure. Sure. Unfortunately, we can't undo. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you wish you knew exactly which spot in the brain, and you could just dip a whatever thing and pull that out, and life would continue
yes.
as normal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. So here's the thing about any experience. As human beings, we are creatures of meaning. We need to make meaning. We connect dots. We need to make meaning of things. And therefore, any experience, and a trauma included, is that we have an attributional bias. So it is a tendency towards. And what we then tend to do, there are three key dynamics to that attributional bias. It is that it is internal, it's me. We internalize it. It's me, it says something about me. This experience says something about me. It is pervasive. In other words, it affects all aspects of who I am that make up who I am as a person, and it is enduring.
Yeah.
But even though it is an episode, it says something about me as a person enduringly. I am this type of person. So imagine that as a child, you have a traumatic experience. And as we said, trauma is very, very subjective and sensitive. So it may be somebody who simply says to you, oh, but you're such an irritating child.
Mm.
That can write itself so deeply into the essence of that child, because it tells them that they're going to make that meaning about themselves, about that it is pervasive to who they are, and that is who they are as a lifelong thing. And therefore, it is why we're talking about how that trauma, that experience, that attribution plays out insidiously, because that becomes then the script, the currency that we take with us as we journey into life. And it's going to become a sort of template, a silent template that exists subconsciously, through which we are going to interpret subsequent events that are going to happen in our lives according to that template that sets itself at that stage.
Yeah. Sure, Kosi. You know, childhood trauma, you've laid it out in such a really, really simple and straightforward way. The fact that it's indelible. Obviously, it's insidious in nature. It can take over your personality or how you understand yourself or see yourself, and therefore how you move, or show up in the world, and have this huge reverberating effect. When do we know that the childhood trauma and the trauma response that then developed has to go? As in, it no longer works for me.
Yeah. We know that when it starts to bleed into our lives, there's toxicity this insidiousness. It is like a cancer, the silent killer. It may lie there dormantly, and it may, you know, show its head in certain instances. And the best indicator is when there is dissonance generally between an incident that happens in the now and our reaction to it.
Expand on that, please.
So it may be something as innocuous as a comment that somebody makes, and it hits you, and it hits you deep into the core of you. That tells you, you know, Carolyn May says there's an act of alchemy that has just happened, right? Because what it is that it is walking into a crime scene. It is stepping on a landmine. So it is happening in the now. However, it is, you know, reverberating, as you're saying. It ricochets so deeply into our past that it tells us this is calling for healing. That's what it is. It is just a reminder to us that there is unfinished business. There is a stone in the shoe that's lying there asking for healing, because there is that enactment of wounding that has been bleeding, and we perhaps have suppressed, repressed over time. And it keeps coming up and says, I'm here, I'm asking for healing. And what we generally do is we compensate. We find this, that, you know, denial, go around it and so on, park it. And sometimes it's necessary to function at a certain time.
Sure.
However, you know, by pushing it under the carpet, it doesn't go away. So it will keep calling us to attention. And when you find that there is a pattern of things that trip you up, that's, again, different calls to your attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as sometimes they say, you know, life speaks to us at a whisper until it sometimes may need to slam us, you know, against the wall before we listen.
Sure.
And so the sooner that we can see these things and pay attention and do something and go through the work that we need, and the operative word is through, to the other side, the better it is for us and others around us, because they will invariably be affected by what infected us as such.
There's a question here on the WhatsApp line from Kingsley, who's asking, please can Mum Khosi comment on how do we effectively deal with the collective trauma of a nation? I'm of the strong view that we remain a deeply wounded country where people were perhaps unfairly asked to suppress their anger and traumatic lived experience.
Yes.
This deep-seated pain is also generational and perpetuating or feeding a vicious cycle.
Sure, absolutely, and you know, that's so interesting, because, and I thought about this earlier on, and I hoped that we wouldn't go there, because you know, that's
it's a big,
you remember,
it's
you
a big
asked
matter.
Me the question about my PhD.
Yes,
that's the work that, you know, we are talking about here. But there's, you know, there's all these the research that's been done on historical trauma. On collective trauma, you know, so this is the language. And and it's so interesting, a question to ask Kingsley, because one of the things that gets to me about this work on historical trauma, and Professor Goboto Matigizela is one of the leading figures in that, she was a key figure in the TRC process as well, is that the referent material mostly for historical trauma comes from the Holocaust.
Okay.
And regrettably, a much bigger, a much longer, much more enduring trauma that people of African descent went through has been normalized, has been written, has been swept into the fringes of society in the name of development. And you know, and it is a silent trauma that we continue, the effects of which we continue to live out, and yet it is one that is swept under the carpet, and we are expected to continue as if nothing happened. But there definitely needs to be collective processes that need to happen, and those processes in some ways need resonate with what we are going to talk about, and I think we should move there, around the processes that are available to process these experiences of trauma.
Well, talk to us then about the processes. I can just imagine, you know, what might need to happen on a mass or national scale for people to synthesize a trauma and also, you know, let go of that attachment to the traumatic event. And I'll ask you to unpack the idea of attachment to a trauma, what that means, you know, going back to that place, going back to what has happened to you.
And that attachment, without necessarily being attached, but we need to reconnect with that, right? Because you can't heal what you don't resonate with. So, the first step or the first element, and these are not necessarily steps as in sequences, but these are part of, you know, the elements of that healing process, is that firstly, grounding is important.
Okay, what does that mean?
Because what trauma does is that in some way, psychologically, emotionally, it ungrounds us. It unseats us. So the self is unsettled.
Okay.
From the fullness of the self. And so it's an important physical enactment that we need to get into, which is physically grounding ourselves. Because then we stabilize ourselves. We connect very deeply with the energy. And it's so interesting because there's a whole healing process called grounding. You know, there's a whole documentary on it, on grounding, which is about, you know, how you literally, we have become ungrounded as a people because of all the things that we've put between ourselves and the natural energies of the universe. So we have dislocated and distanced ourselves from the natural healing energies of the universe that need to reverberate through us. And so grounding is an important one, to literally put your feet on the ground as you do this process.
Yeah.
Not with shoes, not literally feel yourself connected to Mother Earth, the grounding of Mother Earth. And secondly, then, it is that attachment or the recall and to visit the crime scene of whatever that experience may have been for you. And the suggestion is here that it may not work the first time because there's so much dust that has collected over it. And it may be useful to think of something in the now that perhaps you recall as something that really triggered you, and to work with that and to kind of work back to its source. Because if it affects you this deeply in the present and so disproportionately to the experience in the present, it tells you it is rooted. So what you want to do is to make your way to travel into, from the leaves, if we would say, into the little branches, to the trunk, to the roots of this issue. Because what you really want to do is to uproot that. Because we are not talking here about cure, as in medical, which is what we were saying. If you could just release, find it and plug it out, you could cure it. But we are talking about healing. And the word healing is about coming to the wholeness, which has been disrupted by this experience.
Yeah.
So to recall, to sense it, to feel, to connect with which parts of us, you know, sensationally, which parts of us are evoked, where it sits within us, because different pains will sit in different parts of the body.
Yeah.
So where are you holding it? And what is this sensation? To really be familiar with it, locate it, place it, sense it, and name it.
Yeah. We've got Phil on the line from Pretoria. Welcome to the program, Phil. Thank you so much for calling in. Your question or comment?
No, thank you very much, Rufil, and thanks to my teacher there. I'm listening to her every weekend. I don't know when last did I miss it. You know, as individuals, we have got what is called a cellular memory or epigenetics. We have inherited some ancestral fears and traumas that go through the blood into one generation to the other. Now, it's not only about the childhood traumas that we experience, but there was an article that was written by Dr. Padilla Hota titled "The Victimhood Leads to Desire for Revenge, a Vicious Circle of Violence," which says that some of the things that we have encountered in the past, later on in our life, we want to display them to other people, like punishment. We were beaten when we were young children, and at a later stage, when even the social climate had changed, we still want to spank our children instead of dealing with the past traumas.
Mm.
So the healing part of it is very important, that we should raise up our hands and say, we've got a problem, as a national problem. We need to resolve and solve those particular problems. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much, Phil. Yeah, Kosi, sure. Phil also, you know, just giving us a useful resource there. Mm.
Yeah, which links to what Kingsley was saying, actually, mm-hmm. Because if we talk about collective trauma, you know, racial trauma, social trauma, historical trauma, and then you take that as a collective. So if we take it from a Jungian collective unconscious place,
mm-hmm.
to the traumas that we are conscious of at this point, so you can understand the complexity of what we are dealing with here. So it's not a small thing,
yeah.
that we are dealing with, but suffice to say, easier to deal with the traumas that we are conscious of, right?
Sure.
At least those we are conscious of, we can name them in the present, and we might, you know, as we immerse ourselves in this, perhaps, you know, and there's different processes and different modalities that will take you. And some people, you know, for example, with hypnotherapy, you know, to take you to those memories that precede you. But also coming back from a physiological point of view, it is that these traumas, these historical traumas, and part of this is what Volk talks about in The Body Keeps the Score, is the fact that it actually affects the genetic code and expression of the genes, such that you will find that, you know, children are born with, or we as human beings are born with things that we can't explain, and that is because it is that comes from the genetic history that we carry into the present. So it's a very complex issue indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Kosi, I'm looking at the time. If we can answer this as succinctly as possible, sorry to rush you. This one coming through saying, good morning, I'm 56, but I'm still going through difficult situations growing out of hurt and anger from being treated differently, right? How do I get to the point where I'm not responding to the emotional trauma of living with my mom and the fact that she did not want me to be happy?
Mm. I think one of the important things is to work on me first. As I said last week, work on me first, work on me second, and work on me some more. And my advice is to find professional help to help you process those experiences. And if your mom is still alive, I would certainly urge you to make sure that you are in a good space to be able to have those conversations with her, because she needs the healing as much as you do, would be my succinct answer.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Kosi. We're going to have to leave it right there. Lots of messages of people, you know, concurring with either Kingsley or Phil, saying that there's so much to be done, if not just on an individual level, intimate level, but on a societal level as well. Of course, the pity being that all of these are tangled up in each other as well. But that's the work of being an adult, unfortunately. Mm. Or fortunately, we get to heal ourselves, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kosi Jane, always a pleasure. Thank if you've you. Got any topic suggestions or questions for Kosi that you'd love for her to unpack or delve into in the weeks to come, please do drop an email on refilwe@702.co.za. That's Kosi Jane, our resident clinical psychologist. Looking forward to one day, very soon, no pressure, Kosi, finally calling her Dr. Kosi Jane as she works on her PhD.